Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern, and what a cool show I have for you today. So my guest is a teacher, a writer, an author, a reader, and an agent, and she wrote the most adorable book about cats for your kids. So stay tuned, and we're going to have her on in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Kate McKeon to Catitude. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, nice to be here.
So glad to have you on. So let's talk about your book. What is the title of your book and what inspired you to write it?
The title of my book is called Pay Attention to Me. And I wrote the words and Rob Justice did the illustration. It's a book for children. And I have to say, I was inspired by cats on the internet. And I have been working in books for a long time, just about 20 years. And a long time ago, I represented a book called I Can Has Cheeseburger, which had pictures of cats with funny captions on them. And lots of people wanted to get their cat famous on the internet and would send their pictures in. And so I was just reading and enjoying tons and tons and tons of cats on the internet. And I imagined what it would be like for a kid to try and get their cat to be famous on the internet. And as I wrote the story and as I worked with an editor, it totally changed. My editor suggested I write this book from the point of view of a cat who wanted to be famous. And I felt like I could really get into the mind of a cat from just reading and enjoying so many cats online. And I tried to get into the head of this cat who wanted to be famous so that his people wouldn't leave to go to places like work or soccer practice. Because he, of course, his name is Edgar, was the best cat in the world. And he just thought he should be just enjoyed as such.
Okay, got it. What a cute book. So you wrote a book about cats and what it's like to, you know, for a cat to be internet famous and all of this. But you have a dirty little secret.
I do. I am allergic to cats and dogs and bunnies. And I like to say anything with hair that grows, unfortunately.
Oh, no. So you don't have your own cat, personal cat.
No, I don't. And my almost 10-year-old is very heartbroken about it. But now we have a bearded dragon lizard. So that is good enough for now. I did have a cat very briefly when I was in graduate school. And I decided to ignore the fact that I was allergic to cats. But it didn't work out well for either of us. And I was not prepared for a kitten. And he was taken in by lovely people who loved him to death. So my cat ownership was short-lived.
You know, I still think you can understand and learn and appreciate cats just because you're not a cat parent. Most of our listeners are cat parents or want to be cat parents or have a thing for cats.
Absolutely.
And I'm allergic to cats, but I'm well aware there's different, you know, variances of allergies. Some people can just take over the counter and just be fine. And some people, you know, have much more extreme effects. I have a friend to this day that's never walked through my house. She's been on my patio after we cleaned it up because she's just so allergic.
That would be me, unfortunately. I take a lot of allergy medications just to get through the world. And I can spend about 15 minutes in a closed room with a cat. And outside, I could pet a cat for as long as I want, as long as I didn't touch my face. But I'm a big, big fan of all of my friends' cats, which I ask after and hear about all the time. And also, of course, adorable cats on the internet. So I feel like I get to live vicariously through my friends and the famous cats I follow.
Absolutely. So let's talk about cats and the internet, since that's what your book is about. You know, I think almost everybody can name at least one or two cats that are, you know, internet famous, like hugely internet famous, and have in some cases have done amazing things for the world of cats. Why did you want Edgar to be internet famous?
Well, I think this actually kind of happened in the writing process without me really thinking about it, because I was the youngest. I am the youngest child of my siblings. There's three of us. And I did a lot of trying to get their attention and get everybody's attention because I was the littlest. And it was really easy for me to slip under the rug. And sometimes it was fun. I could do whatever I wanted, but I did want a lot of attention. So I think I understood where Edgar was coming from in that way, or I gave him those feelings I had as a kid, but also that feeling of wanting to be close to the people that you love. And even if you're going about it in a silly way, which is what Edgar is doing, he's proving he's very smart by writing his name with his claws on the back of the couch, which he should not do. He is imagining how great it will be to be a famous cat and have his own personal masseuse and a sunbeam director. And he is doing things. My favorite part of the book is he says he calls on the wisdom of his ancestors. And that wisdom is, if I fit, I sit, which is a long time cat joke on the internet. And he goes and fits in the middle of the family board game, which no one is happy about, but he thinks is the greatest. And I think that we've all seen cats or have cats who have just made some poor choices to us, but they think it's the best idea in the world.
You know, it's funny, if it fits, they sit. I once did a show that cats are like liquid because they'll just pour themselves into anything that they think they could fit in, which is nuts.
Mm-hmm. It's adorable, too.
That, too. So getting back to the cats, do you think cats are more internet popular than, say, dogs?
I do. I think that dogs have made a strong comeback. I've been kind of a semi-expert about animals on the internet since maybe 2008, maybe, when I started working with I Can Has Cheeseburger. And I had these strong theories about why cats were more popular than dogs. And I thought it was because cats have such a range of expression on their face. They can look mad. They can look happy. They can look bored. They can look suspicious. They can look guilty. And that dogs are kind of like happy or asleep. And I think that now there are more expressive dogs that we see. But in the beginning, I thought that cats just had so much more personality and a variety of faces to show that we could then ascribe their thoughts and feelings and make jokes out of them. I still stand by that. I think that cats are more expressive than a lot of dogs, not all dogs, of course. But I think that now that the internet is more populated by video, dogs being very active, which cats can be too, of course, makes for pretty good little videos. So I think maybe dogs have kind of come back up in the internet standings of who's winning versus cats versus dogs.
Yep. I mean, I was a dog person first, then cats found me, and now just a cat household now. I'm thinking I could name at least two famous cats and only one dog. So,
oh gosh, I could probably name. Well, my favorite internet.
Top of my head.
Yeah. My favorite internet cat is Elsie, the talking cat from Mary Robinette Cowell. And Elsie uses the buttons to talk. And I think Elsie is a genius.
And I don't even know who Elsie is.
Oh, I'm
missing out, right?
Oh, she's the best. She reviewed the book, actually. You can go on Mary Robinette's Instagram feed for Elsie. And Elsie really did like the book. So we have that.
Wow, that says a lot. Let's talk about the diva cats. Edgar kind of sounds like a diva.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Which I think is true about most cats. I mean, I even tell mine, Molly, who's the most diva, just, oh, come on, stop already with this attitude. You know, well, you know how you have conversations with them, right? I mean, I think that's normal. So what does Edgar do that makes him a diva? I mean, as they're divas, they're also hilarious little drama queens. So what are some of Edgar's moves that, you know, portray him as Mr. Diva?
Well, first and foremost, he thinks he's right. He has the most correct opinions of anybody in the house. And obviously, he deserves and requires this attention from everybody at his command. He even says, you know, in the book that he deserves all this attention, but he reserves the right to walk away from the family at any time when he needs a little break. And that's perfectly fine for him, but everybody else must be on call to pet, give him pets and treats. And so I think that Edgar is a diva in how he's approaching getting this attention from his family, but what he at heart really just wants is their love, and he gets it. He has all of the family members' heart. He's just kind of going about it in a silly way.
So from Edgar's point of view, as he escalates his antics in the book to get noticed, what do you wish that, you know, and from your perspective, which is unique because you're a cat person, but you don't have cats. So what do you think that cats might wish humans might pay more attention to in real life?
Well, part of the book too mentions that the humans are on their phones a lot. And I bet that there are plenty of cats out there who will bat a phone out of their humans' hands to get more pets. Or I've seen on the internet, cats will close a laptop. And so I can imagine that a cat would, if I had a cat, it would do that to me for sure. Just to say, hey, get off your phone and come, let's play. Or let's, you know, come scratch my head. And the cat would be right. We probably should get off our phones.
Yeah, we should. It's crazy. Some people are so glued to it. They're important, yeah, but you got to give it a break.
Yeah.
Speaking of break, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shure.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Kate McKean. She has written the book, Pay Attention to Me, which is inspired by cats on the internet. So, Kate, all the research you did, I mean, on the internet, I mean, talk about something fun, watching cats on the internet for research. Must have been a lot of fun. Did you anything that you thought, this is just, I cannot believe this cat is doing this. This is mind-blowing.
I actually tried to put in the book even more ridiculous things than a cat would actually do on the internet. So I would see the things that they would do, like jump on top of the highest point in the house or knock over things or get the zoomies or just absolutely freak out and jump 5 feet in the air and all these things. And I actually wanted these things to be even more kind of bonkers in the book. Like Edgar does scratch his name in the back of the couch, which if a cat scratched its actual name and could write English, that would be, I mean, it would be the best cat video on the internet. But it also says he reads the newspaper every day in his litter box, and he sneaks into the backpack of the little kid in the book, whose name is Quinn, and goes to school with Quinn. And I've never seen a video of a cat going to school with a kid, but I bet you it's out there.
I'm pretty sure it's happened. I've heard of people packing their cats by accident. Not for long, but because they like to cozy in and get into your stuff and everything. And I've had my couch scratched, but I don't think Dennis put his name in it.
Just no, that would be something.
Oh, that would be right. He just did his own artistic expression. So if Edgar was an influencer and had his own social media account, what would that look like? And what kind of influencer would he be?
Oh, I think he'd be a really kind of casual, happy-go-lucky kind of influencer. He wouldn't be like perfectly made up with his cat blowout and like perfect makeup or clothes or whatever. I think he'd be a real casual, friendly cat who would sit on the couch and be like, hi guys, what's up? Today we're gonna read the newspaper or we're gonna sneak into Quinn's bag and go to school. And he would be somebody you'd almost think you're friends with, instead of somebody that would be like perfect, that you were like, oh, I want to grow up and be Edgar. I think you would say, I want Edgar to be my best friend.
Okay. And what breed is Edgar closest to?
Well, he is inspired a little bit by a cat that is called Happy Cat from I Can Have Cheeseburger, who's a gray Scottish fold. And he, in the book, is kind of blue-gray and he has some stripes. So he's not exactly that, but when I spoke to the illustrator to give him like a little bit of what was in my head, because I'm not a visual artist, I had a picture of Edgar in my head, and I was like, I want him to be goofy and round and fluffy, like Garfield in a way, but also kind of have that happy, like dumbness, you know, like I was like, I want a big dumb cat, but dumb in the most loving way, that he was just happy and that he was just trying his best, and he might not do everything right, but you still loved him. And so he has a really cartoony, happy cat vibe to me.
Wow. I think I want Edgar.
I want Edgar. I wish I could have Edgar. He would be the best cat.
I would say he's probably a little bit Maine Coon because they are the coolest cats.
Yeah. And I don't see him as like long hair, but he's definitely fluffy.
Well, one of mine is a mix, but he is long hair and he's lazy. So every so often he starts looking like a lion. So I hope your book is hugely popular with kids and parents, but what do you hope that the kids and the adults take away from Pay Attention to Me?
I hope that everyone takes away from the book just to sit down and look around at what's around them, the people, the animals, and give them a big hug. Just be like, oh, hi, I've been a little distracted. Let's sit down. Let's snuggle. Let's play with a little mousy toy, or, you know, let's watch a movie, or let's go on a walk if you have a cat who will go outside and walk. Just to kind of take a second and look around and say, oh, yeah, all these people I love are right here. I'm going to go and appreciate them.
And what would you say to some of the people listening that say, well, you're telling people to go away from their phones, but people read on their phones. Now they're just reading, you know, in a book.
Oh, I love ebooks. Oh, goodness. I love ebooks. I love audiobooks. Those are fantastic. I'm always listening to an audiobook and reading an ebook.
But different than just scrolling on your phone, right?
Yeah, that's the part I need to not do, is just get to fall down in the endless scroll.
Because that's a huge difference. Some people, if you're reading an ebook, it's different, but you're still, to me, and I'm an avid reader, I love the app Libby. I don't get paid by them or anything, but if it wasn't for that app, I'd rather have that than a credit card. I mean, I have credit cards, but the best app, it works with your library card, and it's just wonderful. I mean, there's plenty of places you could buy books online too. I'm a big fan of libraries.
You can get my book on Libby, I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go back and look, but libraries are carrying this book. And if you have, it might not be the best place to read it on, like, say, an iPhone or something like that. But if you have any other color tablet, you can read picture books on Libby. I've definitely done that with my kid.
One thing is cool about it is that whether you're reading digital or, you know, hardback, your imagination is working. When you're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, that's just like not so much imagination.
Yeah, just tuning out.
Tuning out. And we're doing that too much. What about for those listeners that love cats but can't have one because of allergies like yourself? What would you tell them?
I feel your pain. I'm with you. Talk to your doctor about just how much medication you could take at a time. I've had shots before and two, and you know, it really, it just varies so much from person to person. And I also hear all those, whenever I tell someone I'm allergic to animals, or dogs or cats or whatever, they're like, oh, but you can get this one certain kind of dog or cat. And I go, no, I cannot. There are so many different kinds of allergies and allergens out there that the hairless cat, I don't think would make me feel any better than a Maine Coon. So I feel your pain. And luckily, there are so many cats on the internet that you can enjoy and check up on and even interact with, talk to their owners. They can kind of get your fix that way too.
Absolutely. And I'm glad again, you brought up the fact that there's different types of allergies. Because, you know, my cat allergy is definitely much different than yours, because I could tolerate to be around them with medicine, but I would need that regardless because I'm allergic to other stuff as well, like grass. What am I going to do? Live in a place without grass? No, you have to take...
We'll just live in a bubble.
I'm not big on, oh, you have to pop a drug for this, but it helps you get by. Okay, so if you, speaking of all this allergy business, now we're going to look at the 180. If you had one day where your allergies were just subside for one day, you had this like magical day and you could spend it with any cat you wanted, what would your cat date look like?
Oh, could I have just like a pile of kittens?
Yeah, I would just like to be. It's your fantasy, your cat fantasy.
I would like to have a pile of kittens old enough to play, you know, like baby, brand new ones. And I would just like to lay around with a pile of kittens and play with them and snuggle with them. And then maybe, actually, how about a morning of kittens and an afternoon of mature cats who wanted to lay around in the sun. And so playing in the morning, watching kittens be cute and silly and play with each other. And then in the afternoon, a nice lazy cat who let me scratch their ears and purr a lot and snuggle.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Is there going to be a sequel to Pay Attention to Me? And should we expect to see Edgar again?
I hope so. We start working on it. And I'm definitely going to be writing more children's books down the road because it's such a fun experience.
So, Kate, we have a vast audience. And I know from the emails I received, we have a few authors out there listening. What advice would you give people if they were writing children's books or, of course, cat or kitten children's books? What would you tell them?
I would say to go to the library and sit down in the kids section and read 100 children's books because they are their own little animal. And people think they're very easy to write because they're short, but they're actually much harder to write than, say, a 100,000 word novel. They just take less time because each little word in the book has to be perfect and has to do a lot of work. And it's work that the illustrations are not doing because you wouldn't say, Edgar is a beautiful blue cat. Or gray cat, when there's a picture of a beautiful blue-gray cat on the next page, you don't have to say those words. So it takes a long time to understand what work in a story the pictures are doing and what work in the story the words are doing. And then I also tell people to avoid trying to teach a kid a lesson. Like, let's remind kids that they must say please and thank you with this cute cat. I mean, there are lots of books out there that teach kids wonderful things. I think that my book can teach people things, but kids can smell homework from a mile away. And they can smell when a grown-up is trying to trick them into something. So I think that the most effective children's books are ones that talk to the kid on their level in whatever language, you know, high diction or silly words. As if they are just the most important person in the room, because they are. And what does a kid want to see? What does a kid want to enjoy? Instead of, I have learned everything about life and I will teach the next generation everything they need to know with this funny picture book. And I think those two things can really get you ahead in the long process of writing and publishing children's books.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's really interesting to hear. Where can people find Pay Attention to Me?
You can learn more about it on my website at katemckean.com. You can find it at your local bookstore and anywhere online, especially bookshop.org.
All right, Wen, thank you so much for coming on Catitude and telling us all about Pay Attention to Me and Edgar.
Happy to. Great talking to you.
I hope everyone enjoyed this show. Please look for Pay Attention to Me by Kate McKean. So thank you, Kate, for coming on Catitude. I want to thank my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Teach me all about cats, and I just do my part keeping my allergies in check. Thank you to my Catitude audience for your loyal listenership. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you to my amazing producer, Mark Winter, for all you do. And hey, above all, remember, lose the attitude. Have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.